Okay, just some technology things at first. Not sure my radio mic's working. Can you hear me?
Press the button, hold it down.
Hold it down. There we go. Great. Good. Well, it would be a great help if you'd keep that reading open as we continue this morning. 1 Peter 2, 4 to 10. And as we come together, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise that your word never returns to you empty. And so we pray that as we read it, as we study it, as I speak this morning, please would your spirit be at work and would it accomplish your word, what you desire it to in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, let me introduce you to a few people. Mark has just left college, and like many young people, he's wrestling with what job to do. Now, Mark's a Christian, and at university, at college, he's been involved a little bit in ministry, but he's also a very gifted linguist, and he's predicted a first. He's the kind of student that could easily get on a master's course. But he wrestles with what God would want him to do. Which kind of job is more spiritual? And then Rob and Jenny. Rob and Jenny are in their 40s. They've got a young family. Both very busy people. Jenny's a teacher. Rob is self-employed. Now, they're both very hospitable. And they go to a big church with a very large staff team. Now, they're very busy. And they think, well, there's lots to do around church, but we don't really need to get involved because that's other people's job. Look at the staff team. And besides, we're just too busy. We'll try that. Okay, so that's Mark and Rob and Jenny. And then Sarah. Sarah is a young Christian. She used to go to church as a child, but recently has discovered a living faith. Now, Sarah works shifts, and sometimes she has to miss church on Sundays. And being a young Christian, she struggles a lot in her faith, because some days she doesn't feel very close to God. And so she thinks, well, maybe I should go to church more. She feels a bit guilty. Maybe church is where I can feel close to God again. Well, Mark, Rob and Jenny and Sarah are all fictional, but perhaps we can relate to some of their attitudes, some of their situations. Mark, young person, really struggling. What job does God want me to do? What does God want me to do with my life? Rob and Jenny, busy people, but not really involved serving in church because they feel they're not really needed. And Sarah, a young Christian who wrestles with assurance. What is it that can make me feel close to God? Well, unrelated, but what they all have in common is that they would all benefit from understanding more about what we're going to call this morning the priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers. We're in our series here at St. Nick's on Reformation truths, and the priesthood of all believers was a radical Reformation idea that was articulated by Martin Luther. Now, in Luther's time, the Catholic Church was all-powerful. And the Catholic Church taught that the priests, the Catholic priests, were like a special class of Christian. Only they could do the really spiritual things like give absolution, baptise babies, lead the Eucharist. Church ministry was seen as superior to so-called secular callings. Life, you see, was very much split into the sacred and the secular. And the priests and the professional class of Christians, they did the spiritual work, but the Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 kind of work, well, that was secular and spiritually inferior. Well, into that, Martin Luther taught the radical idea that actually all Christians are equal, that church ministers are not a sort of special class of Christians. All Christians, whatever role they played, were priests. And so in the church, everybody has a part to play. And life wasn't divided up into the sacred and the secular. Rather, in Christ, all work, whether preaching or cleaning, teaching or ministering, cooking or housework, was seen as legitimate and spiritual. Well, I think there are really two questions to think about here. That one is about access. Access. Who gives me access to God? Do I need to go through a priest or a special holy person? Do I meet God by going into a church building? Access. And then vocation. What kind of work is spiritual? Are some Christians more holy than others because of the work that they do? Access and vocation. Have those two things in your mind as we come to 1 Peter. The priesthood of all believers speaks to both of these, access and vocation. And to see how, well, we need to look at 1 Peter. So just find your passage again. Now, 1 Peter 2. Now, the main idea of the passage is really quite simple. Jesus fulfills two Old Testament roles, the role of the temple and the role of the priest. And Jesus fulfills them so that those two roles, the temple and the priest, are no longer necessary. These two aspects, the temple and the priest, also deal with our two aspects, the access, the temple, and vocation. The priest. We're going to look at each in turn. First of all, let's think about the temple. Now, the point here is this, and this is our first point this morning. In Christ, there are no special buildings. We access God through Christ. There are no special buildings. We access God through Christ. And this is verses 4 to 8. Look down at verse 4. Just follow the logic of the passage here. So, verse 4, as we come to Christ, we are built by God into a spiritual house, verse 5. That is a temple, a community of people who trust in and follow Jesus Christ. This temple is not physical, it's spiritual, built on Christ as the foundation or cornerstone, verse 6. And in that temple, we, the people, are like the bricks, the living stones, verse 5. And the point is that this temple is spiritual, not physical. It's built on Christ, not on a physical foundation. See, there are no special buildings. We access God through Christ. Now, this language actually has an important history that we need to grasp. We need to go a little bit deeper into three things: the temple, the priest, and the sacrifice. Temple, the priest, and the sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, the temple was where God dwelt, where his presence was, where you could go and meet him. If you like, God had an address, a postcode, in the temple. He was contained. Now, in the temple, God dwelt behind a curtain in the inner sanctuary of the temple called the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. And God's presence had to be contained because you couldn't just stroll into his presence. Why? Well, because of sin. God's people were sinful, and God was holy. Now, little illustration, you can't obviously get near the sun, especially on a day like today. But why can't you get near the sun? Well, it's because it's too hot. The closer we get, trying to get near it will soon burn up. Well, it's the same with God. God was too holy. His people were too sinful. Try to get near him, and you would die. And so the problem in the Old Testament is, how can sinful people have access to God? Well, enter the priest. The priest acted as acted as the people's representative. Now, the priest could have access to God, but only on one day of the year called the Day of Atonement. But remember the problem of sin. See, even the priest was a sinner. So how could he have access to God? Well, enter the sacrifice. Now, the idea is simple. We deserve to die before God because of our sin, but a simple substitution takes place. So an animal is killed instead of us, of the people, instead of the priest. So on the Day of Atonement, the priest had to kill a bull and a goat, and then he could go behind the curtain and represent the people to God, and access was granted. Well, the big difference in the New Testament is that Christ fulfills all of these three practices. So, working backwards, Christ is the sacrifice. In his death, Christ was like the goat, the bull, dying in the place of us. We deserve to die, but Jesus dies instead. He's the sacrifice. But he's also the priest. Jesus is, if you like, the representative of God's people. In his death, Jesus stands in for all of us. And in Christ, both the sacrifice and the priest are perfect. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices had to be repeated year after year. But Jesus' sacrifice is enough, and it never has to be repeated. Through Jesus, we have permanent access to the presence of God. So you see, in a sense, Jesus is the temple. It is in him, it's through him that we have access to God. But in another sense, as Peter says, we are the temple. As we come together as Christians in Christ, so God dwells with us. And all of that means that we don't need a physical temple anymore. See, there are no special buildings. We access God through Christ. Now, let's just think about that for a moment. See, if God doesn't dwell in buildings, but dwells in Christ, it means that you don't have to come into a church to come close to God. This church, St. Nick's, isn't holy in that sense. You're no closer to God in here on a Sunday than you are in Smith's in the New Town. You're no closer to God on a Sunday during communion than you are at work on a Tuesday afternoon. You see, in Christ we can draw near to God anytime, any place. And it's not the things of church, it's not the things we do in church that bring us closer to God either. We'll have communion later. That in itself cannot bring us near to God. Music and worship, they don't bring us near to God. It's very easy for people to think that music has the power to bring us into God's presence. And sometimes worship leaders are kind of almost invested with that power to sort of bring us in through music. But that's misleading, because only Jesus brings us into God's presence. Music, worship leaders do not. Perhaps you have a quiet time every day, and that's a special time for you to draw near to God. Well, it's a useful structure, but again, that in itself doesn't make God more accessible. He's not sort of more easily accessible for those 15 minutes in the morning than he is at any other time of the day. That's not to say that our building here isn't beautiful or useful, but just because it's a church doesn't mean that we meet God here. See, access to God is through Christ. Which begs the question this morning, have you come to God through Christ? You don't need to go anywhere special. This is actually very liberating. You can come to God today just through Jesus. And if you have, I wonder, are you using and enjoying the access that you have? Let me think about this week and thinking about prayer. You see, we can draw near to God anytime, anywhere. At work, at your desk. You don't need to go anywhere special. I wonder, are you using that access? Are you praying? Are you enjoying that access that you have? I sometimes think I'm quicker to commune with my phone than I am with God. And I wonder, are you a young Christian, perhaps like Sarah at the beginning, struggling a bit with assurance? Perhaps God feels close to you some days and far away on others. Well, the answer to that isn't to come to church more. Rather, come to God through Jesus. Draw near him. See, there are no special buildings. We access God through Christ. Well, that's the temple, and it deals with the question of access. But our passage also speaks of priests, if you like, of vocation, and speaks of how Jesus fulfills the office of the priest. And this is our second point. See, if there are no special buildings because we access God through Christ, secondly, there are no special people because we are all priests in Christ. There are no special people because we are all priests in Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, you might know priests were a special class of people within Israel. You might remember who the first priest was. I wonder if can anyone remember who the first priest was? Little test. Aaron. Yes, someone said Aaron. Moses' brother, Aaron. He was the first priest. Well, Old Testament priests did have a specific job, as we saw earlier. They stood in for God's people. They represented God's people before him, and they sacrificed on their behalf. But as we saw in our first reading, underneath the sort of special priests, God's people were also described as sort of little priests, a kingdom of priests. Now, we've seen that the role of the special priest is fulfilled by Christ. He is our priest who has offered the sacrifice once for all. But under him, just like in Israel, well, we are also to be little priests, a kingdom of priests. And that's radical because, well, instead of there being one priest, see, we don't need the special priests anymore, but we are all to be priests. There are no special people, we are all priests in Christ. And that's what verses 9 to 11 teach. Just look down at verse 9. Now, the question that we need to have as we come to verse 9 is this. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be in Christ? What has God saved us for? Well, notice, not just to be individuals, but verse 9, to be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Now, as we've seen in Exodus, we've had that was deliberate first reading. These phrases have a very important Old Testament history that we need to grasp. Remember that reading in Exodus 19, verse 6 in that chapter uses these same phrases. Israel was to be a treasured possession, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. Well, what does it mean to be a kingdom of priests? What does it mean to be a sort of little priest under Christ? Well, central to this idea is the idea of being set apart. Set apart. Now, in Exodus 19, God is effectively saying this. He's saying, although the whole earth is mine, I've set you apart as a people to be mine. And so what I require of you, God says, as it were, is that you set me apart above all else in your lives. In a word, to be holy. And that's the same for us. God, if you like, has set us apart as a people as we come to Christ. And he wants us to set him apart above all else. Central to the idea of being a priest is holiness. Setting God apart above everything else and anybody else in your life. Letting him be central and living accordingly. This begs a question, I think. We've been thinking over the last few weeks about salvation by faith alone, haven't we? That wonderful Reformation truth. Well, this begs the question, if salvation's by faith alone, without works, well, what place do good works have in the Christian life? Well, they have a big place. But works for the Christian are not about merit, they are about status. They're not about merit, they're about status. Let me explain. When we become a Christian, our status changes. Through Christ alone, we, to use the language of 1 Peter, we belong to God. And if we belong to God, well then simply we're to live differently. There is behaviour that is appropriate to our new status. Out of that status of those who belong to God, we are to do good works that please him. And we can't merit any more of God's love by our works, but rather out of our status, we live differently. It's a bit like Meghan and Harry. When Meghan Markle marries Prince Harry next May, her status is going to change, isn't it? Now, Meghan's not of royal blood, so she won't be Princess Meghan, but she will be treated as a royal. I gather her title will be Princess Harry of Wales. Her marriage changes her status, doesn't it? Now, there's nothing that she's done, if you like, to earn that. And once she's married, short of divorce, nothing that she does can alter that status. And the point is that as Harry's wife, as Princess Harry, well, there's behaviour that's appropriate, isn't there? Things that she would stop doing, things that she would start doing. Well, that's the same for us as Christians. See, remember who you belong to. You belong to God, and therefore there's behaviour that's appropriate. See, there are no special people. We are all priests in Christ. And so in Christ, God sets us apart as a people. But I wonder, have you set apart God above everything else? Are you living a life that demonstrates to others, to the world, to your work colleagues, to your family, that you belong to God? And that does change things. For me, an example over the last 2 or 3 years has been to do with relationships. It's very common in the music world to meet friends and make friends who are not Christians. And over the last few years, there's been a friend, a non-Christian friend, for whom I've developed feelings, and that friendship could have gone further. But as a Christian, I had to say, this can't go further because I'm a Christian and you're not. Now, that's painful. But I belong to God. And so that's appropriate. It's right. And I can trust him. You see, is something else more important to you? Are you living in a way that has something else as your number one? Money, career, your children perhaps, a relationship? It's right that we set God apart, that we live for him and not those other things. And more positively, you see, if you belong to God, are you enjoying him? See, belonging is the language of ownership, isn't it? See, we belong to God, we are owned by him, we're valuable to him, precious to him. And actually that should change how we see holiness, this idea of holiness. Because you see, God loves our efforts to please him, to live for him. It brings him honour, brings him glory. Living him is, if you like, living for his joy, living for his smile. And that's where the challenge is as well, isn't it? Because it's very easy to live for other people's smile, perhaps your boss's smile, your family's smile. But no, we should live for God's smile above those others. So there are no special people. We are all priests in Christ. Well, as I finish, back to Martin Luther. Because you see, the reformers took this idea of belonging to God and applied it in two spheres. First of all, in our ordinary callings. See, we belong to God in our regular work, and so we can serve him there. Remember at the beginning of the talk, Mark wrestling with what to do with his life, what job to do. What job does God want me to do? Well, one job is not more intrinsically pleasing to God than another. It simply comes down to gifts. I wonder, what's your calling? What's your job? Are you a student? Are you a teacher? Are you an engineer? Are you retired? Are you a housewife? Doesn't matter. Wherever you're working 9 to 5 in the week, that's the sphere where you belong to God. And doing your work as well as you can, for God's smile, is pleasing to him. And if you hate your job, if you struggle with your job, well, do it for Jesus. Get up in the morning and think, I'm going into work today because of Jesus. The 9 to 5 stuff, those things are not less spiritual than, say, helping at Bible study or leading home group. And if your Monday to Friday work is suffering because of your church activity, well, it's right to pull back from your church activity. So in your ordinary callings. And then, last of all, in the church, you see, all of God's people are equal in status. We all belong to him. There's no special class of Christian minister. Dave, myself, we're not closer to God, not more spiritual, just because we're on the payroll. We shouldn't be doing all the work. We all have a part to play in serving God in the church. So come and serve. I wonder, what's your role here at St. Nick's? Or do you leave it up to others? There's lots to do here. Music, coffee, teaching, looking after the children, being hospitable, the sound desk. A great start would be to come and join a home group. Come and get to know us. We've said that we don't need to come to church to be close to God, but actually, in a sense, we do need to come to church. We need each other. We are a people. We're not just individuals. We need each other. And as we go on serving God in our different spheres, in our work and in church, Well, there's that wonderful encouragement that as we come to Christ, we, like living stones, are being built up. See, we grow as we serve. We're being built up. So, what have we learnt this morning? We've learnt two things. There are no special buildings. We come to God through Christ. We access God through Christ. And there are no special people. We are all priests in Christ. And we are to serve him in our regular work and in church, living for him alone, living a life that shows that we have set him apart. Well, as we close, let's pray. Just draw near him. Let's access him through Christ. Just spend a moment or two coming to God with your thoughts. I wonder what it is. Do you need to commit something to him this week in your work life? Perhaps you need to highlight something that you know you need to stop doing to show that you belong to God. Perhaps you just need to draw near him for strength to set him apart, to carry on setting him apart in a hostile environment. Whatever it is, just take a moment. Well, as we come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, Lord, we commit this week to you. Thank you that you've all given us work to do, and that in you we are all secure. We belong to God, and we pray that you would help us to set him apart, set you apart in our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to stand and encourage one another now as we say the creed together. It's one of the joys of coming to church. We build each other up, and this is a great way.